The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Fan Run Radio getting fired up on a Wednesday. Russell Smith, Trey Wallace, Bear Jake, all hanging out with you here in your truly hard seltzer studios, getting you ready for big show this afternoon. A lot to get to. Going to talk a lot of basketball today. There is football practice. Trey will be headed over to cover that for us. We'll get a Rocky Top report later in the show, but rumors of the basketball Vols' death have been greatly exaggerated. Basketball ain't going nowhere under Rick Barnes. And I know it's just Murray State. Like, nobody's crowning Tennessee or anything like that. Although, a lot of people were ready to give up on them at halftime. My dude Brian hit me with the tweet of the night, I thought, which was, nobody does the mid-game freakout like Tennessee fans. And that's true. That's absolutely true. We can, oh my God, we're losing 14-9. Fire everybody. We do that thing better than anybody. And I'm guilty.
Did you go live last night at halftime?
Yeah.
How was that? Did you control yourself this time?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I wasn't overreacting. And I wouldn't overreact if we had lost the game. Part of me even feels like, I was thinking at the time, like Rick Barnes wouldn't have minded too badly if Tennessee had lost the game. He wouldn't be freaking out. Like, we got exposed pretty bad in the first half. I mean, Murray State was taking it to us there for a little bit. And it was really just a defense and rebounding thing, in my opinion. They shot well over 50% from the field in the first half. And then in the second half, they shot 30% from the field. So
held them to 19 points in the second half, Russ.
Yeah, and defense and rebounding, man. They killed us on the boards in the first half, and we ended up out-rebounding them for the game. So obviously Barnes read his team the riot act at halftime. We shaped up. I thought the stat line of the night was Lamonte Turner just couldn't buy a bucket. 2 of 12 from the field, 0 of 3 from three-point range, but 14 assists, 0 turnovers for Lamonte Turner. Overdrive, Jordan Bowden has a career night in only 25 minutes of game time because he was limited by foul trouble. And like I said yesterday, like, I felt fine about those guys. Those guys are who they are. They're going to be okay. It's about getting our freshmen rolling, in my opinion. Before we talk about them, Pons and Fulkerson.
Wow.
Those guys are obviously keys to this team. And
he had 19 last night, dude.
Yeah, and I'm not like – I'm not trying to overreact one way or the other. They looked good. And we're going to find out, man, because the competition level is ramping way up here starting this weekend against Washington. But obviously we're going to be depending on those guys. As for the freshmen, whatever's going on with Josiah, obviously Josiah James slowed by that groin injury where he didn't practice for a couple of weeks. Obviously that's still having an impact on him. I wonder, though, did the light come on for Olivier Kamwa in the second half last night?
He's playing good in the post.
Because he looked awful in the first half.
Yeah, he did.
Like, he looked like, man, I don't even know if this dude's going to have much of an impact this year. And then in the second half, he came in when Fulkerson came in and picked up his third fairly early. He came in and looked like a completely different dude. And he was a key for us in the second half. So that'll be worth watching going forward.
Yeah, when Fulkerson got that fourth foul, too, it seems like he got more aggressive as well down the stretch with about 6 minutes to go. I am very impressed with what Pons is doing. And people say, oh, it was UNC Asheville where he scored double digits. Well, you know what? He backed it up with 19 against Murray State, and he was hitting those shots from outside the arc as well. I mean, it was great to see if you're a Tennessee fan. Sorry, I was about to sneeze.
Pons?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's been incredible. And that Murray State team, like, they're pretty good, man. They got the two guards that can play that big.
Pons is going to have to keep doing it night after night.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, here's the thing.
That, I mean, he looked good. I'm not saying he looked this good, but he looked good at the beginning of last year. And then he damn just disappeared once the competition level went up.
What Barnes said last night when they started keeping track of three-point shooting, when we were listening to Barnes.
Yeah, he said the best.
He said Pons has been the best three-point shooter on the team. And now you have to wonder, and I pose this question to you, Russ and Barry and Jake, how worried are you about Lamonte Turner's shoulder?
Yeah, that was probably the big takeaway from the press conference after the game. Like, he was able to fight through it last year, but he had surgery on it at the end of the season and missed like the first 2 or 3 months of off-season training. And you figured, okay, well, he's going to be it sucks that he misses that training, but he's going to be 100% by the time the season starts. And
yeah,
just sounds like he's got a bad shoulder.
It feels like something he's going to be dealing with the rest of his life. I mean, he's had surgery now. What's it? 2 out of the last 3 off seasons.
Something like that.
And he's having to go down to Destin, Florida to get it done, Niceville area. And I think there was a reason why he was driving so much to the basket last night and not taking shots from outside the perimeter, even within 15 to 20 feet.
Well, he took one of his threes in the first half, just looked funky. Like it was like he couldn't raise – he couldn't get his arms over his head. So, man, that's gonna be an issue.
His driving and dishing, what do you have, 14 assists?
Yeah.
That didn't seem to be a problem for him.
We're going to need him to score.
In the shape.
We're going to need him to score at some point. We're going to need that shot to fall. I see a lot of people on social media asking, why don't we play Josiah at the point since he looks more comfortable with the ball in his hands and Lamonte off the ball since he's a better scorer. But I think those 14 assists are why. Is because Lamonte clearly knows the offense – better. Josiah's still working, trying to figure out where he fits in to this team. I do wonder, maybe that's something that evolves slowly over the course of the season once Josiah James figures out what he's doing. Because his head's clearly spinning right now.
Yeah, but Russ, you have to also think about it this way, too. If Lamonte Turner is dealing with shoulder injuries, but you still need him on the court, you're going to put him at the point and let him run it. And be an assist guy, and then have Josiah Jordan James over there to take the shots. I mean, that's how you run it right now. If you got to have Lamonte on the floor, if he's still dealing with shoulder pain, you'd rather him out there assisting the ball than just being on the bench.
Well, yeah, I mean,
right?
they're going to play him, obviously. I mean, he's the leader of this team.
Well, I'm saying you can't put him over at shooting guard. If he's hurting right now and he can't hit his shots, you got to have him on the floor somewhere, so why not have him out there assisting?
I mean, I don't know what's going on with his shoulder. Last year, he had pretty much the same thing at this point. Like, they even shut him down for a while last year. And then he came back and he wasn't as effective. But by the end of the season, that shot was falling and he was the Lamonte Turner we all know and love.
January, when it started falling for him.
Yeah, how long did he take off last year? I mean, how long did it take him? It took him a month or two into the season before he really got going.
Yeah, mid-January is when it started falling for him.
Well, remember, they brought him back against
Kansas. He didn't play the first six games.
He missed the first couple of games. They bring him back against Kansas, and he was there for a game or two. And then they shut him down again for like several weeks, and he didn't even come back till, I want to say, the end of December.
Yeah.
We can't shut him down this year. Like, we're just going to have to
run point.
They're just going to have to figure out a way for him to play through it, and hopefully
Triple J gets out of a funk.
After watching it last night, he's the best that I saw last night at running at the one.
Yeah. I wonder, though, like, again, you know, as the season goes along, over the course of 3 months, like we talk about Lamonte Turner was a different player at the end of last season than he was at the beginning of the season. Like, people are being way overreactive right now to the struggles that Josiah James is going through. A couple things about James. First of all, you know, he's a little bit different five-star kid. He didn't play on one of the glitzy AAU travel teams where he was playing with a bunch of other high-level dudes and stuff over the summer. He's traveling all over the country. He stayed close to home in Charleston and played with the guys he grew up playing with. So he's not as accustomed to playing at the speed. This is new to him. The speed of this game is new to him. Add on to that that he had a groin injury that caused him to miss pretty much a month of practice. He's going through an adjustment period, and I don't know that it's going to be one of those things where the light just turns on for him. I think it's going to be a gradual thing, and you're just going to have to go through those growing pains with him. But hopefully, by the time we get into the meat of SEC play, he'll have caught up and he'll know where to go. The ball just sticks with him, and that's something that drives Barnes crazy. You hear him talk about this all the time. It's like he hates it when the ball sticks to him. You saw that happen to James a couple of times last night where, like, he gets the ball, and then he just, like, turns his head one way, turns it the other, and he's just holding it. And, like, Barnes is like, no, man. You get the ball and you do something with it. You either put it on the floor and drive or you pass it again. You can't just hold the ball. And
get it onto the next guy until they find the matchup they want or the opportunity or –
Yeah, so he's struggling with, like, where is the ball supposed to go? What am I supposed to do here? Once he learns that, I'd be shocked if he doesn't come on. It was a big three he hit yesterday.
So you're on the hey, we're getting better type thing as we travel up to Toronto, Canada and play Washington on Saturday.
What kind of accent was that?
I was trying to go
Toronto. Fast. Was that a like a French roll of the R?
Yeah, I was trying to go French.
Do they speak French in Toronto? That's Montreal. That's Quebec.
I've been to Montreal. They didn't understand a lick of what I was saying at first because I was trying to speak French.
What territory is Toronto?
Do you even
in?
Know French?
A little bit. I studied up for. I went to Montreal years ago.
He watched European French
a little bit.
He watched European vacation.
Yeah.
We'll get back to that at a later date.
Stay with us. The drive continues. Fan Run Radio. We'll get your hot question brought to you by Rickard Ridge coming up next right here on The Drive.
With us. Now, let's get back to The Drive. It's time for the Rickard Ridge Barbecue Smoking Hot Question of the Day. Brought to you by Rickard Ridge Barbecue. Located in Cove Lake State Park. Online at RickardRidgeBBQ.com.
After two games, we'll take a very early poll here. Very early Pulse of the People poll for basketball. After two games, how do you feel about the basketball Vols? Do you feel better, worse, or about the same? Better, worse, about the same. Your thoughts, 865-546-8200. If you want to jump in, it's the Smoking Hot Question brought to you by Rickard Ridge Barbecue. Yeah, they got a few of those special smoked turkeys up there. Nothing in the world like it. Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoked Thanksgiving turkeys. Go online to Rickard Ridge BBQ to find out more. Call up there and tell them The Drive sent you. He'll take good care of you. RickardRidgeBBQ.com. Go around the room here quick. Trey Wallace, better, worse, or about the same?
I'm feeling about the same. I think that Tennessee basketball is they have a few kinks they have to work out when it comes to perimeter defense. But other than that, I'm feeling about the same. I think they go up to Toronto and play a good game against Washington, and then we'll see. I think they'll be fine the time they get to SEC play and even when they host Memphis. But you gotta get your guys going. And Devontae Gaines, you gotta get Triple J going. So we'll see. But I'm feeling about the same. And look, here perfect example. You got a game where you were down 12 at halftime and you come out and win by 19. I think that's a pretty good showing of where you're at in the second half and wearing teams down.
Yeah, yesterday as we were headed out the door, I said I'd lowered my expectations for basketball just a little bit. Not that they were crashing and burning, but I've been pretty bullish in Barnes. Been pretty, okay, maybe sheepy, if you want to put it that way. Through the offseason, I said I thought we'd easily win 20 games. I didn't think we were even going to be on the bubble. I didn't think we'd be a top four seed, but I thought we would be solidly in the NCAA tournament. After the first game, the exhibition, it's like, man, I don't know, man. Maybe these folks who said we were going to be on the bubble were right. So from that perspective, I actually feel worse than I did before the season. But my expectations started, I feel like, a lot higher than probably everybody else's.
Why did you expect – did you think you were going to get a lot more out of Triple J at first?
Yeah. Is that why? Yeah, maybe I overhyped him a little bit. But what's interesting is I didn't think we were going to get as much out of Pons as we have. So maybe that's a bit of a trade-off. It's hard to watch last night what happened in the second half and not come away feeling really good.
You find it interesting that if Tennessee didn't have Eves Pons, that...
By the way, Captain French, it's just Eve, not Eves. The S is silent. Carry on. Okay. Sorry, I don't mean to embarrass you, but we need to pronounce the young man's name correctly.
I'm sorry. You didn't have a problem with it with the other 12 media members last night. Whatever.
No, don't
put
deflect.
You on the spot like that. He's played for our team for 2 years now, Trey.
Yeah, just get better. It's Eve. Smartass. Eve Pons.
They didn't have Pons last night. Tennessee doesn't win that game.
I feel worse.
You feel worse about it?
Yeah.
Dang.
We're going to get eaten alive underneath. Once we get in the league playing some of these better teams. We're woefully. What's going to come home to roost this year is that the past two, even though he signed the 2 5 stars today, I'll give him that. But my one big knock on him is that he didn't land any bigs the past couple of years, and the ones that he did bring in are gone now. So we're going to be really weak underneath. And then my thing is, I think we could make the tournament. We might win a game or two. But eventually, at tournament time, you're going to end up having to play really physical basketball against teams that have humongous.
What's your early take on Fulkerson?
I mean,
the game changed when he came back in.
Yeah, I know it did, but I think that my two biggest fears with him is that he is injury prone. Mm-hmm. And number two. Other teams are going to know that, and they're going to try and get him in foul trouble.
That's a good point.
I have a theory, by the way.
He had four with 5 last night, minutes left.
Fulkerson?
Yeah, he had 4 with 5 minutes left last night.
He also had the highest plus minus on the team last night.
Yeah. I can tell you're high on Fulkerson right now, correct?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I was very impressed with. Obviously, he was a key for us last night. I shared the same, I won't say skepticism, but can he do it over the course of an entire season? And can he do it against some of the guys that he's going to say? That dude they had, Cowart?
Yes.
That dude can play.
I know.
What is he, about 270 pounds?
It's a big boy.
Big guy in the 80s shorts.
He can play.
Did you notice that? He was old school.
Everybody's doing that now, man.
Are they?
It. Yeah. Well, you see these guys wearing if you watch the Lady Vols game the other night, the women, they're all doing this thing where they tuck their shorts up underneath. Like, they all do it. They
tuck them up underneath.
Yeah, they
underneath what?
The shorts. They roll them up.
Why not just wear shorter shorts?
I don't know. I don't know if it's a style thing or whatever, but that's what the ladies are doing. And a couple of the dudes are doing it too. I noticed this last year. LSU had a guy who did it. And now I've seen a couple of guys start. Anyway, I have a theory on Fulkerson.
Really fixated on shorts.
I have a theory on Fulkerson. I think he gets called for his fourth foul last night was garbage, man. He had his arm straight up. The dude, I mean, the guy weighs 270 pounds, and he slammed into him, and Fulkerson's arm is straight up, and they just went ahead and called him for the foul. I feel the officials look at Fulkerson and say to themselves, I'll just say it, here's this goofy, gangly white boy.
Hey, what's up with the headband he's wearing?
I don't know. Protecting his hair. I feel like the officials look at him, and I feel like his appearance, because he looks like Woody Harrelson in White Man Can't Jump, I feel like his appearance works against him, and they're more likely to call fouls against him.
Wait a minute.
I do.
That literally?
Yes.
Seriously?
Not literally. That's the way I feel.
Quite possibly your dumbest take ever.
Okay. I mean, we'll see. I kind of get it, too, because he is a goofy-looking guy. But I feel that way. Anybody else feel that way? You two obviously don't. Jake, do you even?
Don't you dare side with him just to side
no,
with him.
No, I really don't. He runs like a baby deer, kind of flails around a little bit, but he's getting better. Yeah.
Are you talking about Zach Kent?
No, I'm talking about Fulkerson.
Kent runs funny. I haven't noticed anything about Fulkerson's gait.
Kent's horrible.
He's getting better. Fulkerson is. But, yeah, overall, I feel a little bit worse about this team. That's subject to change, though. They may have turned a corner in the second half of the last game. But I expected a little bit more out of Jordan James coming right out the gate. And it seems like we're still trying to play post ball without Grant Williams down there. But if they can optimize their game around the guards that they have, like they started to do in the second half yesterday, then they could salvage this and squeeze out 20 or more wins.
Fulkerson because of what he looks like.
I do. I feel that way, and it'll be interesting. I reserve the right to rescind that, but I thought he had a couple of crappy calls go against him. Early on the poll question, 56% say about the same, 31% say better, only 13% say worse. Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question du jour. We're going to take a quick timeout. We'll be right back. Jason Martin of 104.5 The Zone in Nashville set to join us. We'll talk Tennessee hoops with him coming up next right here on The Drive. The Drive's podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group today at 865-566-0800. Applying for disability can be very tedious. Having an experienced attorney on your side makes it easy. Call Disability Advantage Group, 865-566-0800, or visit online at dag-us.com.
Sports Radio in the afternoon. This is The Drive.
Welcome back. The Drive continues here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith, Trey Wallace, Bear, Jake, full house in your Truly Hard Seltzer studios here on Fan Run Radio. Pleased to be joined right now by Jason Martin of 104.5 The Zone in Nashville. Excuse me. Good afternoon, Jason. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Hey, we're doing good, man. Thanks for jumping on with us. What's the dominant topic of conversation today on The Zone?
Tannehill.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of been the story this week, I guess. I mean, it's Titans and it's Vols more so than anything right now. I mean, there's so much going on that spending too much time on any one topic is probably detrimental to your overall product when you've got, I mean, you're not really touching on the NBA all that much, but, I mean, you even had Kentucky lose last night to Evansville, so that's out there. But Vols hoops, Vols kind of getting back into the mix in terms of now it looks like if you don't make a bowl, it's a disappointment for Jeremy Pruitt, which is stunning if you would have said the same thing 6 weeks ago. And the Titans alive, even though I'm usually the wet blanket on that. I've said their season is over since the Buffalo loss, basically, and I still hold tight to that, although they are going to make this interesting, it looks like.
How about this? We've already seen Chad Morris, the first to get the axe in the SEC. What about Derek Mason at Vanderbilt? He seems like a likable enough guy, solid X's and O's coach, but we see, to me, every Vanderbilt game, every Vanderbilt home game, I see on Twitter pictures of the stadium, and it's always, 10 minutes before kickoff, and there's like nobody there. To me, that's just a horrible look. What are the chances he's able to keep his job?
Doesn't seem like it's good, but I thought the same thing last year. The problem, we had Derek Mason on the show that I'm filling in for in the mornings yesterday, and he's a very positive sounding guy, but even he's starting to sound like he's almost past it here. Like, he realizes that the turnaround's not going to happen. When you go back, I looked over the last few years and thought about it, and just, he did not get enough out of Shurmur's career. That was one of the best quarterbacks Vanderbilt will ever have, and what did they really get to show for it? That becomes the problem. And this is a university where it can be tough to bring in the right kind of talent, and you're falling even further and further behind, and you're not even being competitive, guys. I mean, when you lose to UNLV, and I'm not talking about Jerry Tarkanian in basketball. This is not Anderson Hunt. This is not Stacey Augman. This is not Larry Johnson. This is UNLV's football program, and a lot of people don't even know they have a football program. That UNLV team had given up 50-plus to a pretty bad Wyoming team, and then they beat Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt gave up over 400 rushing yards to Ole Miss. And then they absolutely got drubbed at Florida. I mean, there's not anything positive that you can take away from a 56-0 win. Eventually, you have to make a change. You're right. Derek Mason, pretty good X's and O's coach. He's a defensive coach. He should go make about a mil to be a defensive coordinator at a very high-end school that's probably in a championship mix. He's not a head coach, not on the SEC level. It doesn't matter how nice a guy he is, and it doesn't matter how good he is at defense if he can't be the CEO of a program. And I feel like he's been there long enough to have proven it one way or the other, and it feels like he's proven it in the negative sense.
Well, you saw James Franklin have unprecedented success there in an era when it was harder than ever to win in the SEC, albeit maybe not so much in the SEC East, but still the league was very good. What do you think, and perhaps who do you think they would look at if they were to make a change?
See, I mean, that's the question. The key word that you used in that James Franklin sentence was unprecedented, in that it's not an easy place to win, and it's not necessarily a destination for a coach to go, because you can see a really good-looking resume go south real, real quick. The other problem for Vanderbilt is, yes, it's tougher to get certain players on the field, but if you think about it, Stanford has proven you can do it. Northwestern at times has proven you can do it. We already know what Duke can do on the basketball side. I mean, the Vanderbilt Athletics as a whole, even though Stackhouse started out his career 2-0, they barely beat, Corpus Christi, Texas A&M Corpus Christi a couple of days ago. That's a work in progress. Outside the baseball program, Vanderbilt is still completely in flux with an AD that's just now kind of settling into the job to see what it is that he wants to do. In terms of who wants to go there, see, I don't know the answer to that, because it's not like you're going to go get some really great named coach to come. It's got to be somebody that's willing to take a challenge who doesn't have all that much to lose right now. And I don't know what that list is. It's either an assistant or somebody at a fairly, low-end school in a smaller conference that's willing to take a chance because he's doing good things where he is. But, I mean, think about Chad Morris. Chad Morris was at SMU where nobody had won in ages, and he was able to win. And then as soon as he gets out of SMU, he goes to Arkansas, and look how that worked. My alma mater got paid $1.5 million on Saturday to beat them 45-19. It's just a tough road to hoe right now. So that's the problem with Vanderbilt. And that's the problem with a lot of these teams. It's just like, I'm not a gigantic fan of Jim Harbaugh at Michigan either, but who exactly are you going to bring in that's going to be better than Harbaugh? At some point, you kind of have to look at what's out there. I just don't know what the candidacy is right now for the Vanderbilt football job in 2019, because that is quite a rebuild.
It's almost like, Jason, they'd have to go back and find a coach that's been out of the game for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And they just want, like a Houston Nutt type coach. And I'm not saying Houston
Nutt or Petrino. I mean, like, Rick Stansbury is the coach of WKU right now. What's right. Kentucky basketball. Something like that. Somebody that just wants to do it so badly
And then there are those people that see SEC and just want to be a part of that. But, man, it's a meat grinder. It's not like the East is getting any easier. Looks like some of those programs are taking steps in the right direction. Meanwhile, Vanderbilt is just barely even competitive, and at times it does not look like their football team actually wants to be on the field.
No, and it's weird because you're going to have, I think, if Muschamp doesn't, and I don't know, Muschamp still might not be back next year. You never know, but you've got Arkansas now looking for a football coach. We'll see if anything else opens up in the SEC. You know how the coaching carousel works. And Vanderbilt's going to be at the bottom of that list. Vanderbilt is at the bottom of that list even after Arkansas. Like, Arkansas is a better job than Vanderbilt. So you really, it's going to be interesting to see which coach and what Malcolm Turner decides to do over there on West End, because right now it is just baseball carrying that university. Women's soccer, I guess, bowling and all that. I'm not even making a joke. Like those are
yeah.
You know, teams that actually play good. So I'm interested to see how that plays out, because they can. The one thing that stands out to me, Jason, is one of Florida State's big things in firing Willie Taggart was because they couldn't sell tickets, and they saw season ticket sales going down. Well, Vanderbilt, you can't give tickets away.
No.
So it puts Malcolm Turner in a spot where he's going to have to make a decision. And I'm sure David Williams lined Derek Mason up nice with some kind of contract, you know, before he left, which is going to make it even tougher. So, I don't know. Let's switch over to the Volunteers, buddy. It seems like JG's on a redemption tour right now, coming out of that game in Tuscaloosa and the way he's performed over the last couple of weeks. Just your impressions, man. A team that's going out there and fighting, not giving up. They've completely bought into what Jeremy Pruitt's doing, and it's starting to show on the field, especially in the second half against Kentucky. Your overall thoughts right now?
I mean, it's got to be hopeful at this point. I mean, this team is going to make a bowl. I predicted before the South Carolina game, I said 2 weeks before that game, if they won that game, the momentum should carry them through the rest of the schedule, which was much softer than what they had seen to that point. I think they gained confidence in a loss in Tuscaloosa on top of bottling up one of the SEC's leading rushers. At the time, he was the SEC's leading rusher for Mississippi State. And then you look really good against South Carolina outside of that very first play. And then there's the quarterback thing. I don't know how it keeps working, but I can tell you this. I was thinking about this, and maybe this is just me thinking out of the box, but Jared Garantano graduated in May with a degree in psychology.
Right.
And I look at the way he's been able to handle himself mentally through a lot of adversity this year, making the mistake, having to own up to that to his team, going through fans that are just not that big a fan of his, being benched for a freshman, having to come in off the bench two or three different times at different points during this season. And he seems to be so mature and okay with the role that Jeremy Pruitt or Jim Chaney or anybody else there is asking him to fulfill, that it seems like that degree's paying dividends, because he was a guy that was a little bit headstrong and didn't seem to have that maturity 2 years ago, but now he really does. It just looks like, I just feel like, guys, there's a whole lot of folks in the same situation that would have quit on the team or checked out mentally on the team, yet every time that they've said, hey, Two, we need you in there, he goes in there and he plays. And it seems like he plays well, and it seems like he plays even better, guys, when he doesn't start, when they put somebody else out there for the first drive or the first couple of drives, and then they put him in after that, he comes in with no pressure, knowing he can get the job done. Seems like he's settled into what Jim Chaney wants him to do, and then he goes out there and he goes 7-for-7 or 7-for-8 and makes plays. Like, it's really, I don't know, there's a lot of negative things that you can say about Jared Garantano over the last few years, but I think it's time to at least acknowledge that he obviously has some level of mental fortitude, because he's been able to just stay engaged and contribute every time he's been asked to.
No doubt about it. Jason Martin, 104.5 The Zone with us. You can follow him on Twitter at JMartZone. And talking about Garantano, you know, Jason, earlier in the season, most people had just kind of assumed that, you know, he's a fourth-year junior. I believe he's already graduated. He's going to be a grad transfer. He's going to go, you know, play his final year elsewhere. And it was going to be kind of a mutual decision between coaches, fans, and the player himself that, you know, this is just what's best for everybody. Now all of a sudden you're looking ahead towards next year, and we'll see, you know, how he plays these last two games. But there are suddenly, you know, people starting to pontificate.
Yeah.
Would it be good for Tennessee to have Garantano back for the fifth year? What's your take on that?
I think that that would have been mind-boggling to talk about a month ago. It felt like he was headed to Rutgers, maybe, following the footsteps of his dad to play for a year. And now I think it's different. I mean, you say two games, but how about three? Because it looks like there might be three left in this season for Tennessee, unless they find a way to just catastrophically not beat Vanderbilt or Missouri. He should have an opportunity in the postseason as well. And I think you're right. Like, I don't know what Maurer's going to be next year. We don't know what Harrison's going to do. Like, there's a lot of questions that need to be answered. But Garantano, getting as he's gotten more familiar with Chaney, and maybe as he's been able to measure expectations for himself, I think that Jarrett Garantano thought that he was going to be the second coming. And that makes him unlike nobody. Like, everybody that's in college thinks that, because all they did in high school, all they did in their athletic career was dominate. That's why they have an opportunity to play college football in the first place, especially on a high level. So one thing, and it happens for NFL talent too, eventually you have to understand what losing looks like, and you have to understand your limitations. He's not going to go down in the annals as the greatest player ever. He's not going to win a Heisman Trophy. But can he be the best version of Jarrett Garantano and contribute to this team's success? And I think he's figured the answer to that question is yes. So I think he's going to assess this basically based on whether or not he thinks he's going to have an opportunity to play next year. And if he does, then he will give serious consideration to coming back. And I don't think it's the worst thing for Tennessee, because there's still so much that's unproven right now, especially Maurer throwing several interceptions as of late. On like 50 attempts, I think he's thrown four picks in his last 50 throws. Like, there's a lot out there. So, yeah, I think the door is much more open right now for Garantano next year, regardless of whether or not the fans would be thrilled about it or not. I'm not sure that Garantano won't consider it.
Yeah, I posed a question last week, Jason: who would you rather have at quarterback, you know, going into Norman, Oklahoma next year, Jarrett Garantano or Brian Maurer? Just because you don't know what Harrison Bailey's going to do.
Right.
And honestly, you don't know what Brian Maurer's going to do.
Right.
And I think that's
right.
Right. So I think that kind of stands out. Last question for me, buddy. You look at Tennessee hoops. What a huge day for Rick Barnes and what they are trying and are putting together in Knoxville. You get, you know, 2 5-stars, a 4-star that will probably end up being a 5-star. Just a monumental day overall. What are your thoughts on the job Rick Barnes has done on your way out here?
I think he's done a pretty good job. I think last night he had to coach, and I don't know that he expected to have to coach quite as hard against Murray State as he did.
Good
point. I would imagine that at the half, that was probably quite the fiery atmosphere in that locker room. And then they come out and outplay him 47-19, and Bowden goes off. But you look at, I mean, Rick Barnes is the kind of coach that people want to play for. I'm not surprised that he's recruiting well at Tennessee, but this is just going to set them up a little bit better for the future. You would think this would help the chances of Rick Barnes not flirting with another job, that he would want to stay there because there's going to be a lot of talent there and there's going to be a lot of opportunity to win and win at a very, very high level in that place, knowing that he's got fans behind him and a really good college atmosphere in Knoxville to lean on. This year might be kind of a middle-of-the-road year for this team, but I think Rick Barnes has done a great job. Like, I still don't necessarily believe in him in March. That was always my criticism of him. It's just the futility and the lack of success that he has seen in the postseason. I think that there's plenty of evidence to prove that that could still exist, or it could just all be down to luck at certain times and, you know, all sorts of factors that he couldn't control as a coach. But I think that Tennessee's gotten they've gotten their investment out of Rick Barnes. Now, the thing that happened in the offseason with the UCLA and all that, that whole thing wasn't a particularly great reflection. But the last 48 hours, again, proves, one, he can coach, two, he can motivate, and three, he can recruit. And if you can do those three things, then you're always going to be in the mix.
Jason, really appreciate your time, my man. Thanks for jumping on. Let folks know how they can find you on Twitter and listen to you online.
Well, you can find me at JMartZone. I've got my show, Fox Sports Radio, Sunday mornings, 3 to 6 a.m. Eastern time. Friday morning, I'll be in for Clay Travis on Outkick the Coverage, which is 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern time. My show, The Big Six, runs at 6 p.m. Central time here in Nashville. Only a couple days a week right now due to Titans Radio, so I'm doing several podcasts. The Pop Six, which is a pop culture podcast, Squared Circle Radio, which has been on the air for 6 years, covering pro wrestling, which is an industry I worked in for 10 years, and now the Quick Six, which is about a 40-minute, without break, stream of consciousness, how I feel about the football weekend that hits every Monday. All of those are subscribable through your podcast catchers of choice. And I also am the editor-in-chief of the Big Six blog, writing about pop culture, sports, and pro wrestling. So all of that, you can find that at 1045thezone.com as well.
Have fun with AEW Wednesday, buddy. I appreciate you joining us.
All right, guys. Take care. Right,
Jason Martin making his presence felt. His appearance brought to you by Smoky Mountain Brewery. It's $6 Burger Day, ladies and gentlemen. And we'll be at Smoky Mountain Brewery 1 week from today with a very special live broadcast that I'm going to be telling you more about probably tomorrow. So be sure to check us out. Make plans to join us next week, a week from today, for Burger Day at Smoky Mountain Brewery. Oh, man, you get the cheddar and the bacon and the pepper jack, the pickles, the lettuce, onions, tomatoes. Fantastic.
Great.
Stay with us. The Drive, Fan Run Radio. We'll reset the hot question coming up next. It's Fox Sports Knoxville.
Mama told you there'd be shows like this. This is The Drive.
Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio. Yeah, $6 Burger Day, Turkey Creek, Smoky Mountain Brewery. That's where we're going to be, right next to Calhoun's in Turkey Creek next week. And yeah, I got a big announcement coming up, hopefully tomorrow here on the show, about that live show. So be sure to tune in to The Drive tomorrow. Be sure to stay tuned. We got a lot to get to here. Coming up, hour number two, Jake Weingarten is going to join us. He's one of these basketball recruiting gurus.
Stock risers.
Tennessee signed maybe the best class in the history of the program today.
Really?
Isn't it crazy to think
that? You are you skeptical?
Yeah.
Which class is better?
The one where we got Bernard King.
Just one player? That turned out to be good, but in terms of depth and quality.
Well, no, you're asking me what the best recruiting class was. I'm telling you, it was.
Yeah, but that's like saying the best football signing class we ever signed was 94 because Peyton Manning was in it.
I'd argue that it probably was.
Oh, come on.
He's the greatest. Peyton Manning's arguably the greatest quarterback that ever played. Bernard King, if he hadn't blown his knee out. I mean, he made the Hall of Fame on one leg.
Never went to a Final Four.
It was Yeah, you can't say that now. It was different back
it's
then.
True. He never did. And there was one year that they went – well, there was one year where he was, like, injured, or he had basically tore his thumb off his hand where he couldn't play, and they got upset by, like, VMI or something ridiculous. I know the game was different back then. Anyway, go down that rabbit hole. Tennessee signs three outstanding players today. Jake Weingarten covers recruiting. We'll get his thoughts on that, as well as – if there's anything out there that Tennessee could potentially add either the next week or after the season, I think it's probably more likely, if we're going to add a guy, it would probably be more likely to happen after the season. So that's coming up here in hour number two for you as well.
Isn't it interesting to think about next year in basketball? I know we're in this season, and the season just started. But next year you get Victor Bailey, you get Euros, you get all three of these guys. You're probably getting Triple J back. I mean, if
who the hell is Triple J?
Josiah Jordan James.
Okay.
Sorry, Barry.
Well, no,
just
man.
Just thinking ahead.
We're going to have a pretty
ahead,
good.
Think about that. I mean, on paper, that's a Final Four type team.
The problem, though, that we're talking about today, the potential problem is going to be the same, though, is who's going to be your post guy. Or your post guys, because preferably, here's the thing, man. Like, Fulkerson and Pons looked really good yesterday. We don't have anything behind them. Kamwa looks like a nice project prospect. Urosh sounds like he's got potential. You really want to add one more guy there, in my opinion. So we'll see. Today's Rick and Rich Barbecue Smoking Hot question: how do you feel about Tennessee basketball through these first two games? 58% of the audience says they feel about the same. 34% say better, and 8% say worse. It's an interesting result, man. Like, I feel like if we had lost last night, I feel like a lot more people would be saying worse. I don't want to say we were in full-on Vol Twitter meltdown mode in the first half last night, but, you know, we the brink was in sight. We saw it. Maybe one or two of you went up to the brink and peered over into the abyss of full-on Vol Twitter meltdown, but luckily nobody just went full crazy that I saw anyway. But it was frustrating there for a second. There was
You held on, buddy.
You're watching that first half thinking, man, we got issues. And then what a run. Tennessee finishes out on a 16-point run to close out Murray State and win the game decisively. Coming up, Jake Lester is in. He's got the top four at four coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio. Stay with us.